Grand Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. The federal classified records criminal case against former President Trump is moving forward, says CBS News correspondent Scott McFarland.
His first ever federal prosecution of a former U.S. president now has a tentative trial date. Judge Eileen Cannon, a 2020 appointee of former President Trump, set the date for May 20, 2024. And there are several key hearings between now and then. One of them, a classified information procedures hearing, set for January 16th, the day after the Iowa caucuses.
Trump's lawyers had asked that the trial be delayed until after the 2024 presidential election. Donald Trump's one-time lawyer and fixer, Michael Cohen, said today his lawsuit against his former boss's company over legal fees he said he was owed has been resolved. Singer Tony Bennett has died after a long battle with Alzheimer's disease. CBS's Deborah Rodriguez looks back at the decades-long career of a beloved entertainer.
It had to be you.
Tony Bennett got his first recording contract in 1950. His first number one single came out a year later, but he'd have to wait until 2011 to see his first album top the charts. It was titled Duets 2 and included this collaboration with Carrie Underwood.
It had to be you, wonderful you. It had to be.
The entertainer felt great that he was achieving new honors at the age of 85. But then he'd often said that it takes a lifetime to learn how to perform right. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
Bennett died just 2 weeks shy of his 97th birthday. The perils and promise of artificial intelligence. The topic of a meeting at the White House today. The leaders of seven major tech companies met with President Biden.
Companies have agreed to find ways for AI to help meet society's greatest challenges, from cancer to climate change, and invest in education and new jobs. To help students and workers prosper from the opportunities and our enormous opportunities of AI.
I'm Wendy Gillette.
Muy caliente.
72-year-old Maria Martinez is broiling in Houston. She has health issues and is taking precautions after three people died from heat-related causes in the area. Dr. Omar Maddock.
Hydration is key here.
In Atlanta, Andre Turner works outside.
We try to basically do the rough things early, like cutting the grass.
Miami is taking a long-range approach. Chief Heat Officer in Miami-Dade County, Jane Gilbert.
Tree planting, especially in the areas where we have the highest urban heat islands.
Because climate scientists warn this is our new normal.
The Dow is up 67 points at this hour. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
If this were a Reese's TV ad, you'd be staring at a Reese's peanut butter cup. And sure, my voice is peanut buttery smooth, but still, you need to see the peanut butter cups, right? No? I can really just say Reese's and you'll go get some? Okay. Reese's. 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 Really working, actually. Reese's. Reese's. This, I'm on to something. Reese's. Reese's. Reese's.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It doesn't hurt, feels good to help. And when you give blood, you provide a life-saving difference for others. The need doesn't take a summer break. So we have a challenge for you, started by Civic Media's Earl Ingram.
Congratulations to all those people and all of you who donate blood.
Take a selfie while giving blood, then post it along with hashtag CivicPints. Give blood and you could get a prize, too. Find challenge details and a donation center near you at civicmedia.us/giveblood. civicmedia.us/giveblood.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Monday, July 24th. In Wood County, the Residential Options Committee will meet at 8:30 a.m. at the courthouse in room 114. In Portage County, the Central Sands Groundwater County Collaborative will meet at 10 a.m. at the Portage County Annex Building in rooms 1 and 2. The Macmillan Memorial Library Teen Garden Club is meeting today at 4 p.m. They'll visit the Macmillan plot at the Wisconsin Rapids Growing Friends Community Garden. The food grown in the plot will be donated to SWEPS. Email Miss Alicia at teen@macmillanlibrary.org to sign up or get more information. I hope you already have your tickets to see Charlie and the Chocolate Factory at the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. They are completely sold out for the entire weekend. The show premieres tonight at 7 with their final show Saturday at 2. Stop down from 10 to 1 tomorrow for their Sugar Rush candy sale. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI.
Hi, I'm Mandy Roberts, financial advisor with Thrivent. I'm here to help you assess your finances and find solutions to meet your needs. Let's ensure you have a strategy for success. To get started, call 715-470-1303. That's 715-470-1303.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows dip down to about 55 tonight under partly cloudy skies with a slight chance for isolated thunderstorms. Northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tomorrow. Chance for isolated thunderstorms. High of 83. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night. Lows level off around 58. Mainly clear skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 83.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this July 21st, 2023. Have your host, James J. Maloff, here. At 10:30, we're welcoming in our friend Katie Wright from the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce. Looking forward to catching up with Katie and all the great things going on with our chamber. Right now, joining us on the phone, Wisconsin State Senator Patrick Teston. Good morning, sir.
Happy Friday, James. How are you?
Doing good. How are you doing?
Well, great. Just starting off a beautiful Friday morning here in the Village of Clover with Representative Katrina Shankland. We're at the recognize the public service for Karen Swanson, who's worked for the Village of Clover for 37 years, and more importantly, has spent over 20 years, I believe it was about 25 years, working as the village clerk. And so just wanted to recognize her accomplishments and her public service. And so Representative Shanklin and I presented her with a citation of accommodation for her years of service to the village.
That is really cool. And thank you for sharing that with us, sir. And I wish her a great retirement. She's earned it.
Oh, absolutely well deserved. And I think it speaks volumes. So we've done a number of these now over the last few years. And it seems as though individuals who get hired by the Village of Clover, they spend the majority of their careers here. And I think it's a testament to a great environment, a great leadership, a great community. And so it's always important for us to recognize those accomplishments, because it's a big deal. I think anyone that's willing to, you know, put themselves out into the public arena, and especially for our clerks in recent years where there's been a lot of consternation and division as it relates to how elections are administered, they had to put up with a lot. In fact, I had a conversation with Karen as I was getting ready to leave. I'm like, I almost jokingly wanted to get you a sympathy card just saying, hey, sorry for everything you've had to put up with these last few years, because it hasn't been easy, I'm sure.
Yeah, I can imagine. I want to talk the budget with you. I want to talk about the agricultural export program and a little bit of the U.S. Open, some other things. Before we dive into that, I actually am pulling an audible. I worked from last weekend on this interview, like I always do when you and I or Representative Krug or Shanklin joins us. These are the interviews that I probably work the hardest on and maybe overthink a little bit. But I'm pulling an audible here, sir, because I've been wanting to talk to you about transportation. And for those that didn't see, the Wisconsin DOT envisioned an intriguing multi-model transportation system that maximizes the safe and efficient movement of people and products throughout the state in a way that enhances economic productivity. We talk transportation from time to time in this state, oftentimes with the roads or that sort of thing. Every once in a while, Amtrak will come up or something like that. Do you think we're getting closer and closer to something like that being a thing up and down the state?
Yeah, it remains to be seen. I mean, there were some conversations preliminarily and ideas for potential projects down the road. But I think, you know, at least as related to this particular budget, our main emphasis was making sure that our existing infrastructure gets brought up to par. And I think that's one of the primary reasons why you saw within the legislative budget that we sent to the governor, you know, we've put an additional $100 million into the local road improvement program, and more importantly, $150 million in a similar program related for our agricultural heavy-used roads. And so, you know, for areas in potato and vegetable country, cranberry country, this is a big deal, because we want to make sure that our farm to market roads don't fall behind. And then on top of that, you know, we've provided increase, a 2% increase into mass transit, and also a 2% increase for general transportation aids, making sure money goes back to our local communities for them to ensure that their infrastructure is up to par. And so, you know, I think one of the big issues that we're going to have to continue to kind of deal with and address, and, you know, is there a conversation in the future for things like more mass transit or high-speed rail? I'm sure that we're going to continue to have those conversations and, you know, trying to make sure that, you know, we have a transportation fund that remains in the black and is evolving with the changes of new vehicles and new technologies that are coming on online in the market.
You bring up something there, sir, and we're going to dive right into the budget. You segued us perfectly into that. One of the things that I noticed with what you just said there is something similar to something else I wanted to bring up. You mentioned our main focus with this budget was taking care of what we already got, our infrastructure and that. Well, recently, in talking about the budget, there was a comment from you, and I was standing next to a couple of Wisconsinites during this, and you had mentioned about bringing in more people from out of state. That it was important for the future of Wisconsin to bring in a more, you know, if people like me, transplants and that sort of thing, and I don't disagree with that part of it. And I don't think the people I was standing next to were, but the comment right away from somebody next to me, a gentleman in his 70s, well, what about us? And I'm curious, how do you balance trying to bring new people into the state while keeping the people we have? Because it has been noteworthy that since, you know, the pandemic, Wisconsin is one of the states that has lost people. Not the most in the state. There's plenty of states that have lost more people in recent years. But that's something that's important, not only on a state level, but on a city level. It's something Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer and I talk about keeping people in town. How are you balancing that?
Well, I think first and foremost, one of the best ways to not only help individuals who currently live here, but also to attract individuals from outside of the state is through tax reform. And that was one of the primary and biggest driving forces that, you know, we worked on within the tax cut that we had put together within this budget, was that it was going to impact every taxpayer here in the state, regardless of whether you make $10,000 a year or if you make $100 million a year, making sure that, you know, we're doing what we can to be more competitive, because not only can people make their voices heard at a ballot box, but one of the most consequential votes an individual can make is with their feet. And when you take a look at the 2020 census data, the states that saw the largest increases of people moving into them were places like Florida, Tennessee, Texas, South Dakota. These are states that either have no income tax or they have a much more competitive or a flatter tax rate compared to states like New York, California. And when you take a look at the states that saw the largest out-migration, they were states like New York, California, and even Illinois. And, you know, what's ironic about this is that, you know, granted, the governor did veto a significant portion of the tax cut proposal that we sent to him, about 95% of it. And he cited that, you know, he doesn't want us to take us on a path to a flat tax, and he doesn't want to touch the top marginal tax bracket, which, you know, that's his purview. That's his right with his line item veto. But the irony in that is that, you know, as you're well aware, James, Illinois is a flat tax. And in 2020, there was a ballot initiative to do away with that and put in place a progressive income tax. Yet the voters they rejected that resoundingly, while at the same time still carrying a state that went for President Joe Biden by 18 percentage points. So I think if we want to be competitive, if we want to grow, we need to make sure that we have a tax structure that reflects that, similar to other states that have seen significant growth. So, you know, this is going to be one of those areas that we have a difference of opinion greatly from, you know, the Evers administration and some of my Democratic colleagues in the legislature. But from my perspective, that's how we grow, and that's how we also provide significant relief for those who currently live here in the state.
Knowing some people that were not in favor of that Illinois bill that you're talking about there, the biggest fear, I think, for most, and those people that I'm talking about, and really in general, is the idea of, well, okay, we're going to give tax breaks to everybody, and that's understood, but everybody includes people in the upper echelon, people in the top 5%. And the the fear, the hope, but that weird combination of, well, if they are charged less tax-wise, that's going to trickle down, when we have not seen that in our human history economically. So I think there's a fear there with that. But there's certainly other ends of this, too, when it comes to, how about the literacy bill? Let's touch on that, the Governor Ener signing the sweeping literacy bill there. What are your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, very supportive. I mean, I think we're trying to get back to the basics here. And again, this was another piece of legislation that was negotiated between legislative leadership, Republican leadership in the legislature and the governor's office, and having a phonics-based system again, and really trying to get back to the basics, because, you know, we have some districts here in the state, some of our larger districts, where literacy it's quite poor. And I think one of the best things that you can provide a child with a strong foundation for future success is the ability to read. And so, you know, I supported the bill. I'm glad the governor signed it. I know there are some folks within the education world who weren't necessarily thrilled, but again, I think we've got to get back to the basics and, you know, teach kids the fundamentals and make sure that they're getting brought up to speed, because if they fall behind, well, that's only going to get worse as they move further down their academic career, whether it's in K-12 or, you know, post-secondary. And so I think it's a step in the right direction.
When it comes to childcare, how are you guys talking about that behind the scenes, you and your colleagues? Is that something that is continuing to be talked about and worked on?
I think it has to be, and I'll be the first to admit I wish we would have done more. Now, not to say we didn't do anything there, but you know, obviously, since we took up the budget and took up the Department of Children and Families, I've heard from a lot of providers. I think every single office has, is that this continues to remain a major concern for parents and employers across the state. And so my hope is now that, you know, we know we've got a lot more money left over in the general fund with some of the governor's vetoes, that maybe we can revisit this in the fall. But I think more importantly, we have to find a better model for childcare in the state, because essentially what was proposed with a childcare accounts program would amount to basically putting a Band-Aid on a broken leg. Sure, it may help in the short term, but we're not really addressing the fundamental root problems and issues that are being faced in childcare. And I think first and foremost is compensation for providers. You know, our early childhood educators, they're woefully underpaid compared to their counterparts in K-12 education. And we got to find a way to, you know, deal with that discrepancy. And then also, other things that we can do from a regulatory standpoint that will ease up on some of these bottlenecks and hopefully potentially open up more slots. Now, having worked in a child care center for one day back in May at the child care center at UWSP, you know, I don't know if there's a whole lot you can do as far as the ratios, as far as educators to kids, but I do think there are some other things that we can take a look at that might provide some relief and still ensure that we have quality child care providers here in the state without, you know, diminishing the level of care. But it's one of those I think we're going to have to continue to dive into and get stakeholders at the table to see if there are some different approaches that we can take to address the problem.
The legislature budget included a recent bill about the agricultural export program. I want to talk a little bit about that. Can you tell people what that is?
Yeah, so this builds upon our investments in a previous budget. So again, trying to identify new markets and opportunities to take Wisconsin egg-based products to places outside of Wisconsin and in other countries. And so, you know, hopefully we'll continue to bolster our egg economy here. Another area that was in the budget, you know, we were able to secure funds for the Farm and for the Future Foundation based in Plover, which again, I think is going to help create a talent pipeline for that next generation within our egg industry and really educate the public at large, especially within the classrooms, where our food really comes from. You know, it's a prime example why last Friday I spent the day on the job with Wysocki Family Farms, learning about their operations, scouting fields, and learning about agronomy and just what it takes to, you know, from the time that seed goes in the ground, all the steps within the process from growing the crop to harvesting and then processing that. It's a big deal for this area of the state, and anything that we can do to increase our market share is going to not just benefit Wisconsin farmers, but it benefits the entire state.
I've said many times, and I'm a big believer, and I think everybody should at least work a day or a week in retail and know what that's like. I feel very similar to being on a farm. Everybody should experience like what it is like, you know, 4 or 5 in the morning till 7, 8, sometimes 9 o'clock at night being on a farm and what that life is like. And I think not only would that create some empathy, appreciation, but maybe even get more people interested in doing that work or doing those that field. I think that that's a, there's no way to mandatory everybody doing something like that, but I encourage people to do those things. I think it's something that you do similar to on the job, which is something you referenced a couple times there. What's your next project? What's your next gig?
Well, I think the next one that we've got lined up for month of August, I think that it's going to be a very early morning for me, but I believe I'm going to be working with Ducks Unlimited to ban ducks and then do some habitat restoration here in central Wisconsin, which I'm actually really excited about because a few years ago, got to work with Ducks Unlimited and some of the conservation groups and some of our aid groups here in the area to do restoration work on the Little Plover River. And, you know, again, it's these collaborations, this team-based approach that really help move the needle on, you know, some of these issues that can sometimes be contentious. But when you work together, it takes a lot of that venom out of the bite and you actually get results done, which, you know, from my tenure in the state senate, that's what I've always tried to focus on is let's get results, let's identify problems, find solutions, and then roll up our sleeves and get to work. And that's one of the things I love most about doing the on the job is that you get to do just that and go work alongside people. And it just gives me a better perspective on how and what we do down in Madison impacts people both directly and indirectly back home.
We're speaking with Wisconsin State Senator Patrick Testin, at least I believe so. Sir, your phone has been acting up a little bit, and sometimes you sound a little computer-like, and with all this AI talk and everything, I am talking to Senator Testin, right? I'm just messing with you. we do appreciate you joining us, sir. You recently had some other people join you. The Rosholt FFA stopped by your office. How did that go?
Yeah, it went great. Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to meet with them in person. They met with my staff, because at that time when they were down in the Capitol, we were actually taking up the state budget, and during part of that floor debate when it came down, I was actually up in the chair presiding over the Senate, but they got to come up and look outside the chamber and see me up in the Senate president's chair, which was kind of neat. But no, it's always great when folks from organizations like FFA and others like 4-H come down, because, you know, this is the next generation of leadership. And I don't like calling them future leaders because they're already taking leadership roles within their communities. And, you know, it's just great to see the you know, it's almost, you know, they may only be in middle school or high school, but it's almost like you're talking to an adult because they're so mature. You know, they do such a wonderful job. They present themselves so well, and they're just hard workers. And that's what you love to see because, you know, when you talk to employers so often these days, they tell you it's so hard to find, you know, help. And especially with, you know, younger workers, just the lack of soft skills. And yet, you know, individuals who are enrolled in these programs like FFA, like 4-H, they've already got the soft skills. They're already on a path for future success, and they know how to work. And if you can do that, then the sky's the limit for you.
Well said. As much as I loved being in football and track and field, I love just as much being in debate and some of these other programs. Were you in any clubs in programs like that in school?
Not like that, no. Back in Marinette, I don't remember there being a ton of opportunities for that. I did football, track and field, and then I spent starting my sophomore year of high school working at a family restaurant in Menominee, Michigan, where I bused tables and then worked my way into the kitchen and became a line cook.
Is that especially when we were talking about education before, is that part of where that comes from, that your passion for that and creating more programs and things in rural communities?
Well, absolutely. I mean, without question, I think any time that we can introduce individuals to different career paths and opportunities out there, you know, it really gives them a taste and flavor of what's available. And also, like, for instance, in the Youth Apprenticeship Program, which we are actually able to successfully double that program, you know, because I've gone to some of the Youth Apprenticeship Appreciation Breakfast, like at the Portage County Business Council. And it's always great when the youth apprentices get up and they talk about their experiences. And oftentimes they've had great experiences. They want to continue on this career path. Other times they'll get up and say, you know what, I'm glad I did this, but I found out, you know what, maybe this healthcare path that I was on isn't necessarily for me, so I'm going to transfer and try a different youth apprenticeship next year. And so, you know, it allows people to kind of test the waters without diving in head first into the pool without knowing if there's any water in it. And so in those types of scenarios, you're either going to make a splash or a splatter, but, you know, when you give them a soft landing, it allows them to really kind of figure out what works best for them and kind of opens their eyes to experiences they otherwise would not have had. But more importantly, it gives employers a chance to invest in this future workforce. And so, you know, it's programs like these that Wisconsin has always been a national leader on, and we need to continue to be a national leader on. And that's why I was so happy we were able to expand this program and double it.
One of the things that you brought up earlier with Ducks Unlimited got me thinking about, especially looking into this quite a bit for the last couple of years, really. Wisconsin has done better than most, especially our neighboring states, at bringing in tourism. We've stayed pretty consistent with that. We had some downtime a little bit ago, but it's pretty much back where it is. And the combination of conservation and tourism and being able to combine that, Wisconsin seems to do that very well. I think the most recent, the U.S. Open in Stevens Point, I thought that was a good example of that. Were you able to take in any of that?
Yeah, well, our tourism department, this is one of the departments, it's probably one of my favorite departments, because it doesn't matter if it's a Republican governor's administration, a Democrat governor's administration, the tourism department, it's basically a nonpartisan agency. And, you know, because tourism, it's the department of fun. They get to go out and highlight all the great opportunities around the state. They get to highlight the tourism attractions that we have. And that's one of the primary reasons why we invested a significant amount of new money into our tourism department, because compared to some of their peers in places like the tourism department in Michigan and Minnesota, they have a lot more money thrown at those departments. But yet, from a metrics perspective, our tourism department has always punched above its weight class. And so we recognize that and, you know, put a lot more money into the tourism department to promote Wisconsin and attract new opportunities. Prime example, we're going to land Top Chef, which a few years ago we missed out on that opportunity. They went to a different state, but now they see the value in coming to Wisconsin to film the next season, which is truly exciting to highlight the culinary scene that we have. And you mentioned the Senior Open at Century World. I mean, who would have thought even 10, 15 years ago that Central Wisconsin would now be a golf destination between you know, the expansion and the investments made at Central World with what we got going on at Sand Valley, Lake Arrowhead. I mean, there are just so many great courses, and I never dreamed in a million years we'd have people flying all around the world to come into places like Alexander Field to then go play around the golf at Sand Valley and then come up the point and play around at Century World. It's truly incredible.
My Nana and Papa, my Papa, who first moved us up here when he retired and had a beautiful house in Rome, he loves that area so much. And whenever he's asking about how things are here, now one of his he's so excited about it. Before it was just kind of like, well, a little curious. Now he's very excited because it's usually great news. It's such a good point that those of us that have been around this area for a while to see where it has developed and where it has gone is beautiful to see. And it's great. But how do you keep that momentum going?
Well, I think we continue to do what we can to keep moving the state in the right direction, but then more importantly, continue to be out there and to sell our story. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges that we face here in Wisconsin, is we're Wisconsin nice and we don't want to brag and you know talk about all the wonderful things that we've got going on in our backyard, but we really have to. And you know, I think with some of the investments that we made within our tourism department, we're going to be able to do that a lot more, is go out there and go into new markets and sell Wisconsin and why it's such a great place to come recreate and visit. And it doesn't matter what you want to do. If you want to go fish, great. You want to play golf? Awesome. We got plenty of opportunities for you. You want to go see some great music down at the Summerfest grounds? Have at it. You want to go to some of the different cultural festivals that we have? Like, I always go to Irish Fest. I never miss it. It's a great time. There's just so much to do. The supper club scene. I mean, I could spend all day just talking about tourism here in Wisconsin, but, you know, it's going out there and knowing that we're in competition with other states, and I think we've got the best story to sell, and I'll keep saying that till the day I die. that this is truly the best state in the nation, and I firmly believe that Central Wisconsin is the best place to live, work, and raise a family.
Sir, I got to wrap up with a tough one. How was your birthday?
Birthday was great. In fact, I had so much fun on my birthday back in June that I sat at home and read budget papers all weekend, and it wasn't until after we got the budget done that I finally got to go out for a late birthday dinner, but it was good. 35 is off to a good start.
Very good to hear. Always appreciate the time, sir. If people have follow-up questions, they want to know more about some of the stuff we've talked about, or just reach out to you about other subjects, how can they best get a hold of you?
Yeah, if anyone needs to get a hold of us, if they have got any issues or ideas, feel free to contact our office at sen.mylastnameteston@legis.wi.gov or drop us a line at 608-266-3123 or follow us on social media. Or if you see me out and about at a community event, feel free to pull me aside, and more than happy to chat anytime.
Always appreciate the time, sir. You be safe out there, and we'll catch up next month.
All right. Thanks, James, and you as well.
Thank you. Again, big thank you to Wisconsin State Senator Patrick Teston for joining us. Always look forward to the conversation. He'll join us again next month. We'll be back with more Midday Magazine right here at WFHR.
Living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734. Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in Central Wisconsin. Two people were apprehended in Stevens Point yesterday after their second arrest attempt. The 45-year-old man and 35-year-old woman eluded officers on July 5th after a short vehicle chase. On July 20th, they again escaped police by recklessly driving through Stevens Point. Police found the empty vehicle a short while later and arrested the two after a short foot chase. They are recommended for multiple charges, including possession of meth paraphernalia, felony bail jumping, and recklessly endangering safety. 37-year-old Devin Needham of Wausau was arrested last year for selling around a pound of methamphetamine. He was sentenced yesterday to 10 years in prison for possession of meth and intent to distribute. The Raptors look to break their five-game losing streak tonight. The second game of the series against the Battle Jacks takes place at Witter Field. First pitch tonight at 6:35. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI, Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows dip down to about 55 tonight under partly cloudy skies with a slight chance for isolated thunderstorms. Northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tomorrow. Chance for isolated thunderstorms. High of 83. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night. Lows level off around 58. Mainly clear skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 83.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this July 21st, 2023. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. And right now in studio, we have some of our favorite people. We have from the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce, Events and Engagement Director, Katie Wright. Hello, Katie.
Hi.
Good to see you. Thanks for being here. And we brought in Office Manager, Lacey Ailing. Lacey, good to see you.
Good to see you as well.
Thanks for being here. Appreciate it. We have both of you here for a special reason today. Let's get to that before we... Let's just rip the Band-Aid off. Let's go ahead and get it out of the way. Lacey, you, I understand, are going to be taking this new position, or this position that Katie is doing.
Yes, I'm slowly transitioning with the end of August. Like a official date. Right now, we're still... I'm still kind of doing office stuff as well.
I'm curious, and I don't mean to put you guys on the spot with this, but how are you going to do it when we're not letting Katie go? Like, I know she thinks she's leaving, but no, I'm just kidding. That's something that we've been through before around here with the chamber and other jobs and everything. But we don't get the chance to always to be a part of the process of it. So I appreciate you guys both being in and getting to talk to both of you about this. And God, we've appreciated it in this area, Katie. We love having you around and everything. And we're going to be rooting for you wherever you are in the world. You and I will talk events in a moment here. But Lacey, I'm curious a little bit about you, if you don't mind giving us a little bit about your background and stuff and how you are going to fit into this position.
Yeah, so I had moved to Wisconsin Rapids in 2019, and I started working at a different nonprofit, working with kids, and then it kind of, I was following my kids kind of where they were going, worked with them with the middle school, and then recently kind of wanted a little bit of a change, so then at the chamber, and then in this position, and it's super fun. I've done banquets and like large events before, and then I used to plan a lot of enrichments and events and stuff like that before. So just kind of in a different capacity, but
well, and
super excited.
As we all know, if you are a parent, you're an event planner. Like whether you realize it or not, you are almost masterful at event planning and figuring out how to entertain kids. You come into this with some really good resume. You got to go. That's good.
It's super fun. I'm really excited to kind of like some of these events I've never like with moving newer to the area. Like I didn't really get to like it was COVID, so then we didn't do a lot of stuff. And then I had a small child, so I was taking him anywhere, it's kind of, it's fun, especially if there's a lot of people, it just kind of gets a little stressful. So now he's a little older and I'm really excited. Like I'm having my kids kind of along for the ride.
It's cool.
They've been helping me.
They get to watch and learn from mom while they're also enjoying themselves. I know for myself with my own mother enjoying that process. And that's always fun. It's also noteworthy, I think, a part of this and this transition and the area. And Katie and I have talked about this. I've talked about it with Seth and Melissa as well. We're all transplants. We're all not necessarily from here originally, but I think it gives us a very unique and cool perspective on these events that for some people, like if you've been in Rapids for 40, 50 years, the Cranberry Blossom Fest is cool and wonderful, but maybe it isn't as alarming or bring out the explanation points like it does for us, where we just haven't experienced it as much. So every year it's really fresh and new and interesting. That perspective behind the scenes can only enhance the product itself. That's
absolutely
pretty cool. Appreciate the time, Lacey. Thank you very much for being here and putting up with my questions and everything. I appreciate that. Katie.
I know.
I'm going to be professional. I'm just going to be professional.
Don't want to cry right now.
I hope you know how much we appreciate you. We'll ramble about that, I'm sure. But we want to get into events. Let's go ahead and do our job. Let's go right into the events and get into that. Now, we're in the last week of July. I'm saying that because I needed the reminder. What happened to July? Where did it go?
Where did summer go?
Yes. Where did summer go? We are in the final week of July. We've got some great things going on. Of course, currently right now happening is the Wisconsin State Water Ski Show Tournament, a championship. I encourage people to check that out at Great Beautiful Lake Wasecha. What is your first event coming up for this last week?
We have our golf outing coming up on Tuesday, the 25th. I want to say registration is closed right now for golfing.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing.
But it's shotgun starts at 10 o'clock, and this has been going on for 40 years. I do want to quickly do a shout out to our sponsors really fast. So we have a drink sponsor. They're helping with all of the drinks for all of our golfers. So shout out to Four Stools Short, our lunch sponsors, Cellcom, City of Nakusa, and Altman Construction. And then we have some wonderful event sponsors. We have Anderson O'Brien LLP, Urco Worldwide, Ho-Chunk Nakusa, J.H. Findorf & Son, Incorporated, John E. Alexander, Southwood County YMCA, Key Savings Bank, Legacy Accounting and Financial Services, Bekane Foods, Mid-State Technical College, Midwest Communications, Prevail Bank, Quality Plus Printing, Rapids Insurance, Division of Marshfield, Renaissance by Renz, Saratoga Solar Project, LLC, Solaris, U.S. Bank, Wisconsin River Orthopedics.
And that's going to do it for our show, everybody. Thank you so much for talking.
We're done. We're done. See you later.
In all honesty, that's so good to hear. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of those we hear and attached to other events and everything, but any opportunity we can mention about local supporting local.
Yes.
It's so wonderful to see. We have so many great businesses around here that do that. And you mentioned every single one of them right there, pretty much. Yeah. Some great people are part of this, and they're a part of it because it's such a big event. It's mm-hmm. a 40th annual. It's one of the headlines of summer, this event. It's a fun one. And I think you're correct, Katie, from what I saw before we started recording here, it does look like registration is wrapped up. But that doesn't mean you can't still take in the event. You can still watch the event. You can have some fun over at Bullseye. You can have a glass of water at Bullseye and enjoy yourself. It's a great atmosphere and a great place to hang out and take in some of the event, maybe help out with some of the things going on around there.
Absolutely.
Always looking for volunteers and things like that for these events. And certainly go and have a good time. Yeah. So that is going to be a good one. That's coming up right next week. Be sure to bookmark your calendars for the 25th next week for that. Coffee with the Chamber coming up.
Yes. This one will actually be in person at the ODC. Hmm. We have our coffee sponsor by Cravings. So we'll have coffee there. Make sure you register online at WisconsinRapidsChamber.com. It is free to join this event, and it's from 8:30 to 10 a.m.
I apologize. You mentioned Cravings, and that's all I was thinking
that's
about.
All you
I'm so
about.
Sorry.
That's
yeah, I didn't hear anything.
Okay. Got it. Noted.
Coffee with the Chamber kicking off at 8:30 on next Wednesday. And is this event we have to register for, Katie?
Yep. So you'll register at WisconsinRapidsChamber.com. It's free. Have great coffee. Oh, and then the event itself is sponsored by Ho-Chunk Gaming and Akusa, so shout out to them too.
Yeah, always big thank you to our friends at Ho-Chunk. This event has a really, these are always fun, Coffee with the Chambers, but this one has a really meaningful and special theme to it. The discussion topic is meeting workforce challenges in partnership with the ODC. We work with the ODC quite a bit and talk with them a lot on the air with these shows, and I have a personal love for them for what they did for my family with my aunt. Any chance to highlight them, to get their message out there, and for people in the community to understand all the great resources that is sitting right there at the ODC. I think that most of us know people that run a business or have a business in this area or somewhere in the, you know, I'm thinking of some friends of mine in Illinois and stuff, and they complain about not being able to find workers. And yet some of these people, I don't think, know that the ODC is right there and available. You got some of the greatest workers you could ask for just sitting there waiting to get on the front lines.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a chance to find out more about that with Daniel Nyenstrom, Assistant Director of Employment, and Sarah Schuler, Assistant Director of Youth Services there. So they'll be there as their speakers.
Yep.
It's a nice event. You get some good coffee. Yep. It's a great event.
And it will be at ODC. So that's on 1191 Huntington Avenue in Rapids. So.
Yeah, we'll meet you there. That's going to be a great event. We have another great lunch by the river coming up next Thursday, July 27th from 11:30 to 1 at beautiful Veterans Memorial Park.
Yep.
Who is going to be down there for that one, Katie? Lacey
here.
I looked away for one second.
So we are going to have Steve Strassman. He's going to be the entertainment on Thursday, the 27th. We have our entertainment sponsor, Enbridge. They are the presenting sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have Marshfield Clinic as the event sponsor. And then food by Jamaican Kitchens, Rocky Rococo, and Chatterbox.
Mm. Really good food, really good atmosphere, and some great music. That is going to be a really fun event there. And as we've been enjoying all summer long, these Lunch by the Rivers, I've gotten great feedback from the community about this, about especially a lot of people that like to, one way or the other. I talk to some people, they start out at the farmer's market and end up at Lunch by the River, or they start at Lunch by the River and end up at the farmer's market. But one way or another, they seem to be tying those things in. And that's pretty unique. That's pretty cool to be able to do. Having those two events going on simultaneously while also having the room to do it. Mm-hmm. I don't think that a lot of us think about that from time to time, but that is pulled off very well.
Oh, yeah.
It's fun. Have you guys gotten similar feedback about Lunch by the River this year? Because it's just
Yeah.
I always get good feedback. This year it seems even heightened more. Like I just been a little bit even more encouraging and a little more excited from people.
Oh, absolutely. I think getting these new people and entertainers help too in seeing new faces. I know Steve, I actually found through Sunset Winery up in Stevens Point. So nice. It's kind of nice to be pulling people from other areas too.
It really is. Yeah. A big part of the event is supporting local, of course, and our local chefs and our local restaurants, but our local musicians as well.
Absolutely.
And bringing in somebody from out of town, just the next door, is fits right the bill, fits the bill perfectly. That's awesome.
And
nice
so
find.
So if you are local, too, and are thinking about next year, contact Lacey, because we would like to get started on our entertainment for next year.
Well, it's going to be so hard to let me see. You're so good at this. We are going to go right to another Lunch by the River as we kick off August, it looks like.
Yes. So Enbridge, again, as a sponsor for that, we're going to have... Solaris and United Way of Southwood County and Adam Counties is also in a sponsor. And then we have The Rumors as our entertainment next week. And then we have Rocky Rococo, Granny's Beach and Ice, and Chatterbox next week.
I've noticed I have to be really careful with that Granny's one. I got to take a couple times with that one. Yeah. That's a great name.
You have to say it very slowly.
Yes. It's a great name, though. This is, all the Lunch by the Rivers are fantastic. This one is a special one. Stuff the Desk, going on, of course, with that day. The United Way being a partial sponsor of that. We encourage everybody that can get together items for kids, notebooks and folders and backpacks, these kind of things. You can find out more about the items that they're looking for at uwswac.org. It's one of my favorite Lunch by the Rivers because as a kid, growing up, I didn't have most of the stuff that I needed starting school. And it was, one of those, well, look where I ended up. I mean, no, I'm joking. But we know how important this is. We know that this is an investment in our future, that this is an investment in kids. And there's never, you can't go wrong investing in kids ever.
Right.
So something like that is pretty cool. Another unique part of this event, along with a great band like Rumors. Man, we love Rumors.
Me too.
Good band. That's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to that one. And, of course, August. Man, I got to get used to it. I keep thinking it's going to be July next month. There's other great events coming up in August as well. Where do you want to go next, Katie?
It looks like we have a gathering by the gazebo on August 8th from 5:30 to 7:30, and that is in the town of Rome. So we have food available for purchase by Chatterbox, our co-sponsor Sand Valley Golf Resort, and entertainment is the Heartstrings. And then our season sponsors, we have Coldwell Banker Advantage, Visit Rome, Rome Away From Home Vacation Lodge, and Key Savings Bank.
Ben and Katie and Heartstrings have joined us a couple of times. Such a good band.
Oh my gosh,
such a
great
band. That's going to be a fun event. If you don't mind, Katie, if we can pause just for a second and we'll come right back to that. I did want to mention that Chicago Blues Hall of Famer Michael Charles and his band are going to be live at Holly Rocks on Saturday, August 5th from 8 to 11. I encourage people to check that out if you haven't caught Michael's act before. Michael is actually going to join us. He's doing double billing. He's doing that, and then he's going to join us on Director's Cut, I believe, that Friday. But we'll get him before he actually hits the stage and everything. And I had to do a shameless plug for that. So I appreciate you guys joining me for that. Thank you. But as far as Gather by the Gazebo, this is, again, one of our favorite events. We get to celebrate another great spot of our area in Rome. Is this the final one of the season?
It is the final one. Yeah. So make sure you come to that.
It's free. It's free. Fun. And there aren't many better locations than that little spot right there. You're going to really enjoy yourself.
And it's growing. So there's a lot going on down there.
Well, while it's the final one of the year, these events, the attendance of these events really speak to the future of them.
Yeah.
You know, the more attended they are, the more we can count on, okay, well, that'll be back next year. If you don't get a good turnout, it's a little bit more touch and go of if an event can come back. The chamber, I think because how big it is sometimes and how much work you guys do, we forget sometimes it's a nonprofit. It's, you know, they're doing as much as they can. You only have so many resources.
Yeah.
If nobody's in attending an event, you got to move on and go to something else.
Yeah.
So we really want you to come all out for this. Show us how much you will love this event. One more Gather by I do a second take on that. We're not live, right? Second take. All right, getting character. All right. Gather by the Gazebo, August 8th. Be sure to be there from 5:30 to 7:30. It's going to be a really fun time. Another Lunch by the River coming up on August 10th. Another special Lunch by the River as well, by the way. Which one? Oh, yeah, Lacey, do you want to talk about that? Or
no, we're kind of bouncing back and
forth. I like
forth
it, though. I like this. This is fun. I like that.
So once again, we have Enbridge. And then we also have Cinta's Associated Bank, Paper City Savings, and Jewel Associates Engineers, Inc. Mm-hmm. And then entertainment by Crow Jam Collective.
Yep. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Just want to make sure I say that correctly. Mm-hmm. And then we also have Jamaican Kitchens, Rocky Rococo, Chatterbox, and La Taqueria will be at this one as well.
We do. We have such great restaurants and some great food around this area. And this event is a really good opportunity to sample some of that and take some of it in. I think that we've got a lot of adventurous eaters out there. But for those that maybe don't always try, this is a great opportunity to try some of those.
Yeah.
A fun event we're looking forward to. And it's going to be a good one. Wanted to move right on to another event, Rendezvous in the Park. I'm a little biased about this one. Rendezvous in the Park is one of my favorite areas in this state. I love that park. Riverside Park is such a beautiful area. Let's tell people about this one.
So we will have food provided by the Coosa Lions Club. Duology will be performing. We have our season sponsor is Paper City Savings and the City of Nacoosa. Co-sponsors Champions, Auto Wash, and Nacoosa Lions Club. And then also bring your lawn chair, blanket, anything you want to sit on. There is a lot of, different little areas you can sit, but just make sure you're comfortable so that you can enjoy the show.
Mm-hmm. Another great band, another great time. Yes. Is this the final one of the season?
It is.
Mm-hmm. That's hard to hear, but it means all the more reason why we got to get out there and attend this event. And just like Gather by the Gazebo, the more people that attend, the more we can reassure that these events will continue and continue to entertain us throughout our summers.
Yes, 5:30 to 7:30.
Be sure to check that out, everybody. And whether we're talking about Lunch by the River, Gather by the Gazebo, Rendezvous in the Park, any of these fantastic events, as the ladies have mentioned, these are free events. But we also want to show that we appreciate that they are free events. And that's very cool that we can offer that to our community so often.
Yeah.
We have got another Lunch by the River coming. And really, this is the month of Lunch by the River, August.
Yes. Yeah.
It truly is. On the 24th, a unique Lunch by the River. This is an interesting one. Got some good event. Got some good things coming on with this one.
Yep. So we have, the 17th.
Okay.
Did I go too far?
I think you jumped to the 24th.
Did I? Because I get ahead of myself sometimes. What? I get excited. Let's look at the 17th. Over. Yeah, I skipped the 17th. Let's do the 17th. The poor 17th. How dare I do that? That ain't
especially
right.
Especially when you're the sponsor.
This is the thing. I was so focused on the 17th that I got excited moving along here. And we're a big...
Okay.
Yeah, we have to... Literally, we have to talk about the 17th. We have to.
Okay.
Oh, I'll fix all this in post. I'm going to edit all this out of there. None of this will be... No, I'm joking. I'm keeping it. Let's talk about that fantastic, wonderful, maybe the greatest Lunch by the River ever coming up on August 17th.
Yes, and the sponsor for that, WFHR and WIRI,
you
and
don't
Nicolet
say.
Staffing.
What? Really? Right? What? I didn't even know
Shocker.
About that.
Oh,
that's
surprise.
Wow. Okay. Well, that sounds really cool. I'm glad we're doing that. No, this is we are very humbled and proud to be a part of this.
Yes.
We love Lunch by the River and being a part of a sponsor is just adds on. It's more icing on the cake for us.
Absolutely. Yeah. Very exciting. We have Central Wisconsin
Choristers
is going to be the entertainment. And then we have Jamaican Kitchen, Rocky Rococo, Chatterbox, and La Taqueria. And then Enbridge sponsor once again, as well as yourself.
Yeah. We're looking forward to being down there. Last year was the first time I got to go to Lunch by the River in probably 5-7 years or something like that. And part of it was because we were sponsoring that night. And I was supposed to be down that afternoon, so I was supposed to be down there. Now we've got a little more open time in the afternoon, in the mornings here.
Yeah.
So got to get down there, got to check it out and enjoy the event. And we'll meet you down there. It's going to be a fun one.
Not to make this sappy, but that was my first Lunch by the River.
It was.
Yes.
Wasn't it? Oh, it was. Yeah, jeez. Okay, all right, moving on. August 24th, I believe we were going to talk about
it. Yes. Once again, Enbridge, sponsor, and then we also have Ocean Spray, Cranberry, and Prevail Bank, and then entertainment is going to be Two Saints and an Ain't.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite band names ever. Yes. Awesome.
And then Rocky Rococo and Chatterbox will be at that one.
Mm-hmm. Good food, good atmosphere, and a great great music. That's going to be a great event. Is that the second to last one? We've got one more after that, don't we? Let's wrap it up then. On August 31st, wrapping up the month of August, and Lunch by the River for another great season. Got a bunch of great people coming down for that one.
Yes. That one will be Ho-Chunk, mm-hmm. Gaming Nakusa, and then entertainment is going to be the Southwood County YMCA Turner's Gymnastics Team.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, Enbridge is our sponsor, and then we're going to have Rocky Rococo, Chatterbox, Granny's Beach and Ice, and La Taqueria.
The YMCA Turner's Gymnastics are so good. Yes. If you haven't gotten to see this before, that alone is great reason to come on down and check this out. Support these kids. The other angle of it, too, is obviously the great food. And one more time, getting out there and enjoying Veterans Memorial Park and that Lunch by the River event.
Yes, for over 30 years.
It's impressive.
11:30 to 1 o'clock.
Yeah. You know, Lacey, as we're looking ahead here to maybe next year and that, if I'm a band out there listening, if I'm a restaurant or a chef out there listening, and I'm like, oh, man, I should be a part of this. I want to. How? What is now a good time to be getting a hold of you for next year even?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Reach out. You can always call, too, if you want to. Just kind of if you want to come in. We're there, you know, 8 to 4 o'clock. You can reach us by email, phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Appreciate
it.
I'd
love to have some new food trucks. That would be awesome.
That would be cool. It would be great. We love the food trucks we have, but we always love bringing in new friends, and that should be a lot of fun. Lacey, thank you very much for joining us. Appreciate
thank
that.
You for having
Looking
me.
Forward to us hanging out again and stuff. But Katie, I did want to put you on the spot. I mean, ask you a couple of questions before we wrapped up today.
Okay.
First, thank you for everything you've done to the community. We really have appreciated it. I've loved working with you. I really have. In this area, moving here and the time you've spent here, what are some of the things that have stood out to you about being in this area?
Definitely the community.
Yeah.
Because, you know, where I was from in Kansas City, it's like this area comes together so often than when I was back home in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And I will be forever grateful for the people I've met here. For me, moving to Minnesota with my family, it's made us realize we want to be in a smaller community again.
Hmm.
So we actually bought a house in a smaller community again because we loved how much this area comes together and we want to be part of that again. So definitely hits a spot in my heart that, you know, I'll never forget Rapids, and this is where my daughter grew up. Trying to hold it together here.
Doing
you know,
amazing.
This is where my You're daughter fantastic. Grew up, and mm-hmm. we'll be forever grateful for the opportunities we had here. So.
Yeah, and I don't mean to get you emotional.
No, it's
That's
okay.
the last thing I want to do.
It's a lot with my family, and I appreciate it. And, you know, it's like I grew my family here, and it's been great. So.
And we have appreciated you sharing that with us and sharing as much as you have and the impact you've made on this area. Because that's something that as she gets older and she looks back at things and stuff, she's going to be able to take a little pride in that, too, and a pride in her parents for that. And
so.
And we ain't going to forget you around here. Once you've been here this long, you're always welcome back.
Oh, I'm 3 hours away. I mean, to come back,
you gotta
right?
You got to come back.
I have to.
Well, and we're going to be like, whatever you're doing up there, I'm still going to continue to interview you. Whether it applies to us or not.
I will be happy to drop in for an interview. I am all for that.
Fantastic. But seriously, thank you. Thank you for what you've done here with our staff and working with us and what you've done for our community. We appreciate you. And we're going to be rooting for you wherever you're at. So good travels, safe travels to you
Will
and yours.
Do.
And Lacey, we're looking forward to talking and hanging out with you a bit more and everything. Thank you so much for joining us, both of you. Appreciate the time. If Lacey, people do want to get in touch with you, possibly about future events or anything like that that's coming up, like we touched on, is there a particular way that they can get in touch with you, or should we just send them to the website?
I would, you can reach out there. They're going to have, you're just going to find my business card.
Yeah,
it's going to have my email right underneath it. It's a long one. absolutely reach out. I would love to talk to everyone.
As far as we have advanced with technology and all these things, nobody still knows how to give emails over the air. We're still trying to figure it out. Like
it's
I do
so
it,
long.
It's so long, it's, and it's like hashtags and things.
Yeah.
Like none of this really. We're still working it with the audio medium and some of these things.
It's too bad you can't do like a QR code over the radio to like
right?
your scan.
It'd be so great. That'd be awesome.
Just listen to the sound. And
then and wavelength.
Great conversation, you two. Thank you so much for the time. And Katie, safe travels. You take care. We'll have more Midday Magazine for you next week right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. A trial date's been set for the country's highest-profile criminal defendant.
The new trial date for former President Trump in the classified documents case is set for May 2024, rescheduled from August. But political analyst Larry Sabato expects more delays.
Trump's goal is to drag this past the 2024 election, not just the primaries, but the general.
If the trial date actually sticks, Sabato says it's likely the GOP presidential nominee will already be decided by then, bringing a dilemma to Republican voters.
They're going to have to make a decision in all probability before the legal system ever does.
Trump faces 37 felony counts. Wendy Gillette, CBS News.
CBS's Bradley Blackburn says singer Tony Bennett has died in New York.
How do you keep the music playing?
With his smooth, warm voice, Bennett's interpretation of the standards earned him generations of fans. His most famous admirers ranged from Frank Sinatra to Lady Gaga, and both became close friends.
He had the most amazing career that is unprecedented. We'll probably never see anything like that again.
Among the tributes pouring in, Sir Elton John called Bennett the classiest singer, man, and performer you will ever see. Rocker Stevie Van Zandt wrote, he was the best of the best, a man whose heart was as big as his voice.
The heat dome is spreading.
Water parks and pools across California will be busy this weekend. The National Weather Service has issued an excessive heat warning for much of the state.
We could see areas approaching that 110-degree mark.
Meteorologist Brayton Murdoch recommends people stay hydrated and stay indoors. That's a lot harder for homeless folks like Steve Kovup, who lives in a tent.
Well, I wet my shirt constantly, make sure my tent and my quarters are in shade.
This week, a 71-year-old hiker died in Death Valley, where temperatures soared to over 120 degrees. Matt